All right. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you that we can, Lord, go to your word to get direction, to get understanding, to get wisdom, and to become more effective in the things you want us to do, in reaching out, in becoming a light to the world around us. So we just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do tonight. And Lord, help us to understand and to be able to apply what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we have been talking about some principles of spiritual economics. I really think it's important to understand that for spiritual things, okay, we need, when we understand the principles according to which the spiritual world operates, we are in a great advantage because we don't get lost into asking questions or trying to figure out stuff. You know, things work logically according to the principles that we, the truth that we have, the principle that we have learned. You know, there are many principles in the spirit world, you know, like, for example, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of, giving shall be given unto you, and all, you know, many other things there. But that gives an idea. But the same thing is about outreach, reaching out, ministering to people. Okay. And with, you know, this is one of the missions we have. Okay. And our mission is not to just follow traditions and doctrines of men, okay, to get some brownie point with God. That's that work and doesn't produce it, doesn't help anybody, but is to actually, you know, apply the things we understand and evaluate the result we get to see how we can improve them, how we can get better, how we can apply them better. Okay. So we, you know, the position that, you know, our attitude, our position is important. Okay. What we are trying to do. And really what our perspective or our position should be is that we are the same attitude Jesus had. We are in our Father business. You know, it's like we have a family business and the children works in the same family and the same business of the Father. So they have the same objective, the same things. Okay. We are part of his business, part of his kingdom. And so, you know, our desires, our goals, our motivation should be lining up with his. Okay. So it's important for us to be active in the way that pleases him, the way that, you know, he wants to, for us to be able to understand what he wants us to do. Okay. So as Jesus said, you know, I'm doing what I see my Father doing. Okay. So the thing is, you know, we don't need a special word of knowledge about what our Father is doing, because we just have to read the Bible and we have a pretty clear understanding if we understand what we are reading. Okay. The thing is, it seems that that's not enough because lots of people read the Bible and not very many are doing outreach and evangelism, and even fewer are really effective about it. Okay, so now, what we said last week was that there are three areas that we have to understand, that we had to connect with. And these are principles, if you want, that dealing with in dealing this area. Okay. First of all, our demands, what are the needs is. We had to identify those things. We had to identify what their needs are individually, generally and individually. Each person is different. Okay. So, and there are all different forms of needs. Physically, mentally, emotionally, everything that you can think of, okay? But, you know, some needs that they ever perceived because they feel pressure in those areas. They are, for example, if they need healing, that's a need that they are going to definitely perceive. They may not know that God can heal them, but that's a need that they, you know, we can identify and address. Okay, but there are lots of needs that are hidden to them. And even if we understand them, okay, the fact that we try to provide them for them, try to help them in that area is not going to be very effective. We have to reach that indirectly. Okay, so we have to understand, okay, that these things are, we have to know how to handle each individual in a personal way, because these are people. They are not, you know, all the same. We are all different. We have all different way of handling things. We have all different experiences and so on. Okay. And we have all different hindrances to receive. So those are the type of things that we, when we talk about identify the demands, that we have to try to figure out. Now, so how do you do that? Well, you know, if you don't communicate with them, if you don't know them, you're not going to know their needs. So there has to be an effort on our side to know these people, to connect with them, to communicate with them. Okay. This is a question of be able to make a connection at the heart level so that there is an openness and a trust concerning you about, you know, receiving what you're saying. You know, I wouldn't go around somebody I meet on the street or somebody that I don't trust to tell me anything, or if somebody tried to sell me some their vacuum cleaner, I just don't want to listen to these people because I don't trust them and I have no time to waste. And I think that makes just simply good sense. There are too much junk going around today that I really don't want to be exposed to. Okay? So, that part of the equation that we had to resolve is, you know, the fact of getting in contact and communication and interaction with them so that we can know what to do. We can know the button to push, the things to open up to, the things that they're going to be able to receive and the things that they're not going to be able to receive. We are not going to, you know, deal with things that are a waste of time. Instead, we had to establish the right to talk to them, the right, you know, the trust between us and them. If we don't do that, anything that they deal to you is very superficial. It definitely doesn't touch the spiritual level. Doesn't matter what you think. Okay? So that's the first area. The second area is to realize and to know what you can provide for them, what you can do for them. There are many things that you have to understand about yourself so that you can have the right attitude and the right position. Okay? First of all, okay, you have the truth. You have to know that you have the truth. You have to be convinced of what you believe. You have the gospel that I have to communicate to them and the truth, not just story of doctrines of man, okay? You have gifts, both spiritually and other way, that you can use and you can provide. You can also, you know, bring to them blessings through your faith and your abilities. So, you know, but the bottom line, what they need is not an indoctrination on your beliefs. What they need is a spiritual experience in which they come in contact with God so that their heart may be transformed. And their heart is not transformed if you don't deal with them at that level. Some people say, well, I can get anywhere. Yeah, because you don't even get even closer to touch the heart level. because all the hindrances, all the things, you know, to reach the heart of a person is not, people don't open their heart to you or to anybody they meet on the street. They shouldn't, and you shouldn't. Okay? So, so you know, it's more than just doctrine or Bible study or mental learning. You want them to have an experience about God, with God, so that they see the reality of the spiritual dimension. Okay? So the part that you can do or do and that is necessary, okay, is that you become a witness. That Jesus said, you will become a witness of me. You know, you don't become a witness as just, you know, a witness is somebody that has been there and has, you know, and share what he has seen in their communion with God. But, you know, just sharing the communion with God, somebody can make it up. There are lots of fake believers that they can tell a great story and actually are crooks. I know some myself. Okay, so that's not the way. You know, Jesus said it very clearly. As you receive, give. Unless we receive ourselves at the level which we can receive, we can possibly share. But, you know, that's critical for us to do. It's not just a question of going through some motions. It's a question of us having some a level of experiences that we can share with others. Okay. And this is really what Jesus emphasized to his disciples. You know, go and preach the gospel and everything else. As you have received, you give. Okay, so, you know, that's, we have to understand where we are, that level, and we have to understand the things we are actually have experienced, not mentally, not theologically, not in any of the other things, but actually we experience at the heart level, spiritually, and those things makes, you know, eliminate all the lots of fluff and information that is unnecessary and go to the core of the issue, okay? And then we have to understand, you know, the ability to develop the ability to answer some basic question about life, okay? So what our purpose is, what the ministry is, you know, our ministry, their ministry, you know, and really, you know, one of the basic things, okay, is help them relationally. And when I talk about helping them relationally, I'm talking about, you know, their relationships. Those are critical, is establishing relationship with you first. Second, possibly with God. And third, that's what you want, you know, not just a relationship with you. That's the beginning. They have to trust you to be able to trust God because you trust God. And then expand to that, possibly to the relationship with God's children, with their brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that's what has to happen. Can be just theory, can just be something, you know, abstract, has to be actually something that is spiritually real to them and powerful and at the level of their heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anybody? Okay. So the third element is the channel of distribution in which how we reach out to them. Okay. And the key things here to understand, you know, is that this mission we have is not something that we do by, okay, today I'm going to minister, and today I'm going to do. No, this is your life, 24/7. As a believer, this is our responsibility and our duty to do, to share what we have, because we, you know, as we share, we receive much more. We are going to be able to, you know, have even a deeper experience in this for ourselves. Okay, because this is God's plan. This is the way he established it. Okay, and this is really what Jesus said. Okay, when he left. He just gave us this mandate. Okay, in Luke 24 and 49 says, "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power." Okay, from on high. Not your own power, not your own because you've been, you know, doing Bible studies or going through the school or whatever. No, you have received actually the empowerment from the Holy Spirit being, you know, strengthened, you know, and you can see that very clearly manifested in the day of Pentecost when the disciples from shy, you know, fearful people became courageous and aggressive and powerful and, you know, bold in their position. Okay. That doesn't mean the boldness always is the right thing to do. But, you know, it's the question of the boldness is not the fact of being obnoxious, it's being not afraid of doing what needs to be done. Not afraid to do the right thing. Okay. And you do that because of the power that is given to you, that he said, you know, the promise of the Father is that, you know, you'll be endued with power. And later on in Acts chapter 1, we say, you know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So it's a question of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And he is actually the things that is communicated, the things that moves us, the things that direct us, actually is not the thing. The person that directs us, the person that empowers us, the person that gives us the motivation and the ability to do what is required. And we can be witnesses. And be witnesses is just a demonstration the way Jesus did, okay, of the kingdom. Okay. And okay, what that means, okay, that we actually are not doing this ourselves or in isolation. We cannot effectively do proper, you know, outreach, although, you know, many cults do that without the Holy Spirit, and they even get some results, so that evidently, even in the flesh, you can get some results. But it's not the type of the right of result that is doing the work of the Father. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the one behind all this activity, this, you know, approach, this position, you know, you are just the channel of delivery, but, you know, the actual agent of what takes place is the Holy Spirit, who set up opportunities for you. Okay. So, and you see, the key thing is your connection with the Holy Spirit becomes critical to be able to pick up the opportunities when they come. Okay. And, you know, the major area of you, the impact that you're going to have is around yourself. Okay. What's called oikos, you know, the area of influence that you have. Okay. The fellowship. Okay. So if we miss that is actually our fishing pond. That's the way we go fishing, and we don't need to go fishing. We are fish. We should be fishing all the time. Okay, that's our fishing area, and we should be taking any opportunity that the Holy Spirit brings to be able to reach out to people, to be able to minister to them. That involves, you know, friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, acquaintances. You know, people say often say, oh, you know, family are the most difficult people to reach out. I'm sorry, that's not necessarily so. It's because they know us too well. So the problem is not with them, it's with us. If you read the New Testament, you know, it was just the opposite. One will come in, all the other one will come in. And I saw many family, you know, being operating like that, even today. So this is the way we communicate things that is the wrong way. You know, it's not pushing our ideas that we are going to succeed in bringing them to the Lord. is by sharing the truth, demonstrating the kingdom, and, you know, being sensitive to the things that we talked about before, their needs, their area of, you know, problems, their perceptions, their ability, their perceived need and their not perceived need, and to bring those into evidence. Okay. So, and once with that, doesn't stop there. You know, that our distribution, our area of spreading the things involved not just, you know, one event, but, you know, ongoing discipleship with the people we are in contact, everybody that we are in contact with, if they realize it or not. We can do lots of things that they don't even realize that we are planting seeds. Instead, you know, Christians think they have to be all open, and so they end up pushing the wrong buttons and they get the wrong response, and then the people are closed and you cannot open your mouth anymore. Well, you missed the opportunity. Instead of using the opportunity, you blew it up. And that's really because you were following path or pattern or approaches that were not what the Holy Spirit was saying, because the Holy Spirit would know exactly what to do with the person. So, I'm going to share something that I did myself this week. Actually, last one was, probably it was this week. You know, I had to go to the dentist to get the teeth cleaned, and I had, a dental hygienist there that I did met with him at a previous time, and, he's coming from one of the communist countries and he's been in Canada for a number of years. So we end up talking, and, you know, it's very difficult to talk when your mouth is open and they're, you know, torturing yourself with their machines. But, he just was friendly and he started talking about himself. Okay. How do you start talking about the Lord when somebody talks about themselves? That's the easiest things to do. Because they give you all the opportunities that you need to know where to start if you listen to the Holy Spirit. So when I finally would close my mouth and I finished the thing, you know, I started talking too. And we started exchanging, and it was really good communication. And it didn't take very much that, I trigger him the right way so that he start asking me questions. And I just needed the opening and the permission to talk. When you got the permission to talk and they asked you for it, you can say lots of things that otherwise you cannot say. And so I started talking about, you know, what I do, and we start talking about religion and start other stuff, you know, and he's evidently was from an atheist country, and, he was involved in, all this stuff. And so I couldn't be there for hours. But in those not long time there, we really connected. And at the end of the conversation that we had to close, because I can't be there holding the line of people having to clean their teeth, you know, he said, well, next time you come, we'll talk again. Absolutely, I said. Okay. So the idea is that, any place we go, if we can make a connection with them, then, that's where we had to fish the opportunity that the Holy Spirit gives us through their mouth, about making a connection to the areas of their interest. And that take down all the barriers of resistance to what you are going to say. And if you know how to express things properly, you know, instead of turning them off, you turn them on. They want to know more. They get interested. They want to find out, you know, what makes you think. You become a witness. That's what a witness is. See, you can talk about yourself instead of talking about them. See, that's what talks about you become witness for me. See, you start reflecting Jesus, the way he operates it in you, the way he is in you. They can say anything about that. And if that corresponds to the reality that they can see in you, that's the most effective thing you can do. You know, sometimes when the people know us very well, it becomes difficult because there is a dissonance between what we believe and what we are. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, this is not difficult. Okay? Just a question of getting some practice and having the right perceptive of what our goals are. If we think that, you know, all the people we have to meet, we have to get a certain response, then quite likely we are going to really fail 99% of the time. Because nobody's exactly the way you want them to be. But if you instead gear yourself to what their needs are, or what they, you know, they can receive, then you can provide to them exactly the things that spiritually is going to have an effect on them and is going to touch their heart. So I think that's has to be the starting point, okay? And this is where, so, you know, it's not just that one event that took place, oh, today I'm going to go on outreach. No, every day of the year, if you put on your antenna, you're going to see opportunities to say something. Sometimes, you know, if you don't see anybody and you're locked up in the house all the time, I'm sure you can't, you know, don't have many opportunities because, you know, nobody's around there. Okay. But if you do anything in which you come in interaction with other people in any way, you are going to be, you know, able to do it. And this is what happened, for example, when I was working for the government and I was, you know, or even when I was teaching in university after, when before I quit, you know, you meet people. And when you meet people, you have opportunities to minister to them. And that's the way I was bringing more people to the Lord, because I was always going around from department to department, you know, because I was meeting people all the time. And I was just very careful to have my antennas up, but not just, you know, in a passive way, in an active way. I would create opportunities without, you know, by themselves, that they would produce the result. Okay. And that was very effective. Everybody's following me up? Does it make sense? You see, your oikos, your area of influence, the people that you already know are the best people to reach out. You may think, oh no, the world, this is a sinner, doesn't make any difference. If you ask the Holy Spirit, pray to the Holy Spirit to sensitize you to do that, to know what the crack in their defense mechanism is, he will show it to you. And, you know, and he will create And you can increase that, the probability of creating possibilities and opportunities for you to minister to them. But don't try to give to them something that you don't have yourself, because it's going to fail. They're going to see it better than you do. Okay. All right. So, starting from that point, you know, the distribution channel, the things that, you know, you become the important component. But not in yourself. You know, your environment, your contact, your people that you know, your life that you have today, and maybe even the one that you had in the past, becomes the point of contact for you to minister to others. Now, you can expand that today, you know, expanding the number of contacts you have, if you have the time to do so. Okay. But that is where, you know, you're going to be affected. Okay. But the key thing is that you don't do it in your own strength. Okay. Your impact is determined by your spiritual power. That means moving in the spirit rather than doing in yourself, in the flesh. Your attitude, your anointing, you're able to listen to the Holy Spirit, your understanding about spiritual principles and understanding how to, perceive the spiritual position of people becomes critical. And what you have to do is to learn that, to, you know, learn little by bit, you know. But to start with, always keep it simple. Share what you experience instead of trying to pass on to them doctrines, ideas. Because your experiences, they can say anything. They can say you're a bit crazy, but that's fine. That's at the same time, you know, they may say it's crazy, but it's interesting. Because if you really said some powerful spiritual experiences, everybody is going to be curious about that. Okay. Going to move more into this now, but maybe open up just a little break for questions. These are the basic principles that we can expand, that we can understand better, that we can learn to apply. But this, when you apply this principle on the, you know, in real life, and you learn to do that effectively, you are going to have results. You may not get results every day with each person, but you're going to have a high percentage of successes. Any questions?
Okay, when you talk about principle, is that something you mentioned near the end? It's where you relate to a person. And see, I have a big problem with that. I don't know where to start, how to relate to anybody, really. Maybe it's because I have to minister more to myself first before I can do that with others. I read scripture. There, but everything is kind of mixed up, you know, it's not organized.
It's not a question of organization, it's a question of having an experience.
Okay.
That's the thing. And you share your experience, you share the benefits that you had, you are not going to try to convince them of your theory, of your theology, of your ideas. They couldn't care less about your theology, they care about your story.
So I can talk about my personal peace that I have with the Lord, perhaps.
But the many things. I mean, you know, if you got healed, you can share about getting healed. If you got a blessing, you can share about being a blessing, getting a blessing. I know, you know, today that this happened to me. Praise the Lord, I feel really good. And that just, you know, just see the positive impact of having a relationship with God, so that they see that having a relationship with God is not just, you know, something that is theoretical, but actually you are benefiting from it.
Okay, so if I share with somebody, I'm not going to try to go to a guy who's smoking by himself and say, you know, I'm not going to talk about his smoking.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, it's none of my business, but I can talk about my personal experience. You know, I have health problems, but God deals with it. And I suppose nothing's perfect, but I'm getting along. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's, you know, the greater our experience there are, the more we can share.
Yeah.
The greater God had an impact on our life, the greater he made, you know, change things in our life, the more we can say that, you know, we have things to say. You know, like any of the time, the God supernaturally work in one way in our life is a good thing. That's why, you know, I find very strange that, you know, we have lots of things happening in the church. And I was checking, you know, working on the website this week, and I realized, you know, we have lots of testimony there, but I don't think anybody even knows about the testimonies that they're there. And, you know, we hardly get ever any, although things are happening every week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that lack of understanding of how, you know, lack of focus on the importance for us of awareness of what the Lord is doing, so that, you know, that becomes a reality. Instead, you know, the only reality we look at is the things that happen day to day that generally are wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead, you know, right there are lots of testimonies, you know, of big things happening. Okay. I really don't think many people know, even know that that section is in there. You know, there's a section called testimonies.
Okay.
Now I think I'm be organized better, and I started already doing that. But the point is, you know, people should, you know, provide the testimonies. Well, I'm not going to, you know, and say, okay, this happened to me this week. This happened to me today. Just write it up for me, and I put it up on the thing, like all the others. You don't need to put your name. You can put just initial or something like that. But the idea is that, you know, by looking at it, by focusing it, you create a testimony. You can create a witness for yourself, for things to share that otherwise you don't have, because you don't give enough importance and weight to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Can you do a bit more of that? I don't need more work to put stuff on the web. You know, this is for you to develop the ability to see the things that God is doing and to give the value that they have in your life, so that you start becoming more aware of what he does and less aware of the things that are there that are problems.
Sometimes I speak to the Lord and I ask, Lord, I need to, I know you're there. You know all my needs are right from beginning to end, but I trust you. Especially when I start feeling things like I was feeling in the past towards other people, which is absolutely rubbish lies. So I cut it off, and then I trust the Lord, and everything gets back to normal.
Well, that's already, in, you know, that's a testimony that there's something real happening.
Yeah.
At the emotional level, and the emotional level and the spiritual level, that is transforming your life. So, you know, you look for a testimony to have. That's a testimony. That's something that anybody is going to be able to see, appreciate. And the more that you know, they know more you, and the more they see you evolving in this, the more are going to appreciate that, because it's working with them. It's not just talking about it. It's just being transformed. Our transformation at all different levels, you know, everything that we receive from God becomes a source of our glory, our testimony, our sharing, our ability to connect with others on a level that otherwise we don't have, because we, you know, it's not our power is not to share theology. Mm. In theology, there is no power. The power is in the communion with God and the result of that communion in our life. Whatever our theology is never always limited, is never enough. It's always mental, you know, arrangement of things. Is not mental, our relationship with God. It's emotional, it's spiritual. Always is a reduction. Theology is a reduction of spiritual reality. We have to understand that.
Yeah.
Because it's limited by our own interpretation, and our own interpretation is often limiting and wrong. Because it doesn't talk about everything. It doesn't show everything. It doesn't show the truth. It shows only a projection of the truth. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has anything to say? I want this truth to get deep enough to produce results, to produce change, to produce an impact on your ability to connect. That's why I'm talking, you know, I've been talking about communion with God, interaction or relationship with God. I'm going to continue, because that's probably is the only important thing that you have in Christianity. If you don't have a relationship with them and you have all your theology straight, doesn't do anything to you. You can have your theology messed up and have a relationship with God and you are farther on. Because you're going to receive more, because you're going to be transformed more. Okay. So, see, the central theme of reaching out, ministering to others, is not you, is the operation of God or the Holy Spirit in your life. So that you can say, I know the truth. This is the truth. This happened. Then you can put on the other stuff so that they understand. And then maybe come the more theological aspect. If you don't go over that, if you have that the basis of the of your interaction and your effectiveness, you are not going to go get very far. Okay. So let's continue here. So your spiritual power and your ability to move in the spirit becomes the critical thing of your impact. Okay. You have to be ministering to the person in faith. If you are not in faith, you are not going to have any power to minister to them, because you are depending on yourself instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. When you are in faith, it's because you are depending on Him and He's working in you. That means, you know, you shouldn't find difficult to determine if you are in faith or not. If you are there thinking about yourself, if you are there, you know, worry about what you're saying, if you are there, you know, wondering and feeling useless, well, that's what you're going to be. what you have to do is lose yourself, forget yourself, and start sharing what Jesus did. You see, as soon as you start talking about what happened to you, this is why you had to learn to make your testimonies. Your testimony, this theology, using it, the better it is. You can use one or two points. But the more you put in there, the more you're going to lose people. Because there are going to be people that have different ideas that you have. And they're just ideas. So, first is minister in faith. One of the things you have to do is to check your attitude. Start an attitude of faith, a positive attitude, a thing that you really are actually having a good time doing it. Okay? And you have to look at what you're focusing on. Because what you're focusing on, you give power. If you're focusing on or your inability or your incapacity or your limitations or you don't know what to do, then that's exactly what you're empowering it, and you're not going to get anywhere. But if you are focusing on what is inside you, what is coming through you, what is using you, what who is operating and not you, then it's a completely different story. And then you let go of yourself. If you are focused on self, you cannot minister to others. So you can work on some scripture minister, to prepare yourself to minister to others. And since, I said it's 24/7, the things that we have to be open to do, if we 24/7 are in the right attitude, it's going to be easy to do. Because when it comes to the opportunity, you are open to perceive it. Otherwise, you are not, because you're so concerned about yourself. One scripture that you can use, to meditate on and to get reinforcement, there are many. The Bible is full. Okay? But, it depends on, your own area and your own things. But, Philippians 4:19, for example, is a very good one. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, I need to do it. I need power. I need anointing. I need to know what to do. I'm going to trust God that gives me the ideas, the perception, the things. I'm focusing on God's working in my life, not on what I miss, not on what I don't have, not on what I had to learn, not what you had to learn, you had to work on, you had to want to know more, want to understand more, you had to close more to where you want to connect with God at a deeper level. So, your relationship, develop your relationship is the basis for you to get in that, but that relationship comes because of your trust in him. Are you still with me? Does it make sense? See, there are some scripture that can help us in getting to a place in which we become more conscious of God's presence in us. Okay. This is the things that we have to feed on. It's not used to, try to go around ministering to others if we feel we don't have inside God and the Holy Spirit working in us. Because the only thing we are going to do is to bring them to religion and to follow things and to participate in something, but it's not in what is inside us that we want to share with them. That's the thing. So, spending time meditating on what it means to be in Christ, and what it means having Christ in you, the hope of glory, and what it means from a practical point of view to know, okay, the impact that God has day by day in your life. And this is why you had to, you know, every testimony that you create for yourself, you know, you have to pull them, you know, sometimes you have to make them before you go and share with somebody else. But every testimony that you make for yourself is talking about, you know, what he did to you, how he worked in you. If you have nothing to say about that, there is very little testimony and you are very little witness of anything. You know, it's not being talking about what the Bible says that you are a witness of him. You are a witness of him when he says, you know, this is what he did to me. Otherwise, you talk about theory. And nobody wants to know about your theory. But when you tell, you know, I was, you know, dying and God raised me up from the dead, they're going to say, either you're crazy or, you know, that sounds interesting. You know, maybe I need it too. Wouldn't you say? See, that cuts off all the religion out of the whole conversation. If they want to believe it, they believe it. And if they see in you what is there, and it comes and it's reflected, sometimes you don't even need to say anything. You just ask your questions. You know, I remember when I was teaching at University of Quebec in French. Good people. Anyway, some asked me, you know, how come you're always smiling? What do you think I said? You know, I just didn't just blast out some things. I just went around and I brought them into the conversation. Anyway, I'm just giving, see, I had to give some example to show you, but when you create your own testimonies, this is why I think it would be good for you when you got something from God to write a testimony and send it to me so that that forces you to focus on it and remember it. Otherwise, the following week, you forgot it. God made a miracle for you and it's gone. But instead, it's something that you can use for the rest of your life. Because some people never have anything. Anybody is going to try to apply that bet. Okay, good. See, that can make a difference. You're going to see that that's going to make a difference in your life. Okay, make a difference in your life because you become more confident about what God did and what your relationship with God and the reality of that relationship with you. And it's going to make you more effective in reaching out to others because when you need something, you find the story that fits to the situation. See, that was what was really good that I learned to do when I was involved with the Full Gospel Businessmen. That's what they do all the time. Okay, they share their testimony. And sometimes if they ask you to speak, then you can speak for an hour giving a testimony to people. Okay, when it has been around for a while, you have lots of things to say. And you get better at it. That's how I started. Okay. So that's when I give you one of the scriptures. You may have your preferred scriptures. Why don't you, you know, identify one or two scriptures? I'm not going to give you, just you can find it yourself, the same scripture that really minister to you about the reality of your relationship with God, or the presence of God inside you, or the empowering that produces in you, and the result that has produced in your life, and put them down and start, you know, write it up and just use them regularly to reinforce, so that they reinforce some of the experiences, you know, connect them to some of the experiences that you had in the past. And this is a homework, okay? Are you getting that? Okay, this is your own project, okay, for you to do, okay? That's not complicated. Just find some scripture. Whenever you find one that really makes you feel, okay, connected to some of the experiences you had, then you just put it there. And, you know, keep record of it. Put it in some place, always the same place, so that you keep it in computer or booklet or whatever, and then memorize it, remember it, and use it to bring it back to those memories back to you. Anybody's going to do that? Okay, good. It's got a few people. Okay, you're going to see that it's going to be beneficial. You're going to produce fruit. Again, one of the things that really has impacted my life is something that I really, you know, repeated to myself and meditated on for more than a year. And it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. I memorized the whole thing and I just sang it aloud every day, thinking, meditating on it, you know, and talks about, you know, the power that's working in us, so that when I have to think about, you know, sharing to others, I bring up the thought and I depend on that and I dwell on that. And I don't think about myself, but I think some of the scriptures that are there. And what time is it here? Let's see, 19. Okay, maybe we can read it together, at least part of it. Okay. So starting from 3:14. See, we prepare ourselves by meditating on the truth and meditating on the things that God did for us. You know, if I, anybody, no, I, anybody asks you, you know, well, you are a Christian, what did God do for you? You know, what can you share with them? Some people can have a number of different things. Some people have too many things to share that they don't know where to start. Okay? And that's really the good place to be. Okay? If we don't know where to start because you don't have anything, well, you got a bit of a problem there. And it's not, if you are a believer, okay, it's not that you don't have anything to share. It's just that you haven't thought about or, you know, reflected about or meditated enough about it to really have made up the whole thing in your mind so that we can share with everybody else. You have to get to that place. See, that's your goal. You want to become an effective witness? It's not a question of quoting a scripture. Is quoting your life. Then you can use a scripture to validate your experience. Okay? That's what scriptures do. They validate that your experience is scriptural, is true, is what God says. It's not that you just hallucinate it sometime. Are you still with me? Okay. You know, I think that if we do that, if you start doing that a bit more, okay, you're going to see that your effectiveness in this area is going to increase enormously. You're going to start seeing results. You know. All right. I don't want to. Maybe we can do this next week. But maybe you have some question. Maybe you have something you want to say. Maybe you have some experience you want to bring up, maybe to test or whatever. So maybe, you know, if you like to have questions, ask questions or do, you know, go ahead. And I'm trying to, you know, connect to that. Maybe if we have the time.
Pastor, I'm curious about your testimony about the hygienist, the dental hygienist.
Yeah.
You connected with him, and so you planted a seed. But you've been teaching us that we need to create that relationship so that we can continue to minister to these people.
Yeah.
Now, that was a kind of an appointment where you go once a year or twice a year. So I'm just curious to see how you are going to continue ministering
Person. Next time when I go there, I'm going to continue the story. He said, we are going to talk about it. Okay, doesn't matter if it's 6 months from now. You know, I believe that there was a connection made there that he's going to remember, because he remembered the first connection that you had 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he remembered better, and I didn't go as far last time, but now I went much farther.
Okay.
Okay, and next time I'm going to go even farther. There is work to be done. That this is was an ex-atheist and communist, you know, but he even got to the place as well. Maybe sometime I get interested in religion. And I said, you know, and I want to say, well, it's not. This is not religion, man. Okay, but you know, the time is limited. But the point is, it doesn't matter. You see, we are seeding. We are not. Don't have you know to produce a certain result. We have to plant a seed in the ground there to produce. And if we can plant a seed that actually remains there, because, you know, we know that we made the connection, you know, that's going to stay there. But if the connection has not been good, they probably forget us, or even worse, they just, next time, they're very careful about keeping distance.
And the Holy Spirit, the seed you planted, the Holy Spirit will, that's his job to make sure that the ministering will continue. Because what if he changes jobs in 6 months?
No, he won't change job. You've been there already for a while, and I'm going you're going to be there more. Well, if it means a job, I can do anything, and I did my part. And maybe, you know, the Lord is going to send somebody else. But for the time being, I had the opportunity with him. The Holy Spirit intervened. He triggered him to start doing things and communicating with things. I responded to that, and I picked up the opportunity. I've been an opportunist. I took the opportunity the Holy Spirit provided to go ahead and plant the seed there deeper than it was planted before. Now, the fact that I got the second opportunity, that means, you know, likely I'm going to get the third opportunity.
Okay, interesting. Thank you.
But, you know, the next time is going to be, I think, when March, May, March, anything in March. Yeah, probably March. So that's good. I'm sure that I'm going to have a follow-up there.
Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very interesting what you said, to find the needs that the person, when you're connecting with a person, to listen and to connect with them. In finding, and you talk about your own experience, because then we're not talking about religion. We're talking about how the Lord touch us and how the Lord help us.
Yep. Well, you see, he was talking to me about his own life. Okay. His experiences, you know, he came to Canada and everything else. He talked about his communist background, or at least, you know, his family communist background and all the other things. You know, so he opened up. Okay, so that enabled me to know about him enough to know what to deal with, what to talk about. Okay, he was open to open up with me, and I just did the other thing, and did the same thing with him. But I made it interesting so that he would keep asking me questions. Anyway, probably I'm going to expand on, you know, approaches for these things in general, because often people do not realize what they can do in this area. Okay, and this is really the big secret. Okay, often, well, there was a scripture that we are going to read later on, in which we see that happening. How that was initiated. Well, we saw it already, okay, with the woman at the well and with Nicodemus. Okay, they started the conversation, and the conversation was turned in such a way that, you know, using ambiguous terms, using other things, so that they would ask questions and get caught up into the conversation and open up the topic that Jesus wanted to talk about. And I was very affected with with both of them. But we can see the difference between the case of, the woman at the well, who went all the way, because it was not very difficult. I mean, there was an openness there. Was ignorance, but openness. The other case was indoctrination. It was much more difficult to break. Okay, that took for longer. He didn't accept that everything there immediately, and Jesus didn't go as far. He just dealt with the issues that he would have to deal with, the spiritual dimension. There are many things in the Bible that reflect aspect of the spiritual dimension that nobody talks about, because most of the religious people don't know even about this existence of these things, because they're not religious items. We'll see. I have one coming up maybe next week. So anybody else has any questions? Sure, there are things.
Well, when I got my haircut, I was thinking of talking about, just at least mention the word of God to my barber, but it wasn't really successful, because I asked the Holy Spirit, should I talk to him? He says, the Holy Spirit, I think, said, well, you can do it if you want to, but I don't know if it was done in the spirit, because I hardly got any response with the guy. I think he agreed that it was okay. And in the end, when I finished getting my hair cut, I probably ended up paying too much money, because I was more focused on God than I was focused on asking him how much did it cost. Because if it was only $15, my God, I probably gave him such a big tip that it was, you know, if it was $18, the tip was normal. But if it was only $15, holy God, man, it says, I'm not that rich. I got to be careful. I should ask these questions.
He will remember you.
I was more focused on that than I was focused on God. And I said, too happy.
But it's not. Well, I mean, God can provide that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Next time you learn the lesson.
Yeah, I learned a lesson. It's a different barbershop, so it's pretty hard to follow up on one person. So I just thought I'd try to talk to the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to do anything in the flesh because, like you mentioned many times, it's going to get nowhere, you know, and nowhere with the person. So I have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
Even at my work.
Well, the thing is, you can see when you do the right thing, you see things moving.
Yeah.
So from the impact, you know, when you earn, probably you're not. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Because God doesn't make mistakes.
That's true. Yeah. And he's a good God.
He doesn't make us fail. We cannot even go by the physical, what happens. You know, that doesn't matter. The point is, you know, the fact is, if we really perceive properly the physical, we know that even when we don't get the result we expect, that we did the work that needed to be done. You know, like, for example, you know, give you an example is when, you know, Stephen was stoned. Okay. If you look at it from the physical, he was a failure because he died and at the old end, thing ended there. The thing is, that wasn't a failure at all because Saul became Paul just because of what Stephen had done. So, you know, God has a completely different way of looking at things, and is not the physical appearance that is the critical part, is the spiritual reality of what takes place that is important. Somebody can react in a very negative way, but something can have an effect on them that stays there and produces results later on. So it's not the physical. We have to really be able to discern the difference between the appearances and what happens spiritually in a situation.
Okay.
And unless we develop that skill and that ability, we can be completely deceived. The world doesn't see that. If we grow spiritually and we connect with the Holy Spirit, we know when you have done the right thing, even if, nothing. But that's not a question of ourselves. We just, are happy with what you did. It's why God really confirmed me that was the right thing to do. That has to do with discernment. It's not to do with separating things. But one of the things, maybe I just one thing, simple thing. One of the things that we had to do, okay, is to see the some part or some aspects of the attitude we have. Okay. One of the aspects of the attitude we have has to be that we are motivated by the love of God. Okay, that means, you know, the love that God has toward them. Okay, and, it's not the fact that we like them or not. It's not the fact that they are responsive or not, but the fact that God is trying to reach out to them and we have to become sensitive to pick up that aspect. Okay, and when that is the case, then our attitude is going to reflect that. It's going to reflect the love of God. In the scripture I was reading, you know, is to know the love of God that passes knowledge. Okay, so it's loving, you know, even sometimes enables you to see things, loving them, enables you to see things about them and about their problem. And the operation of the gifts inside you are going to show you things that are not, they didn't tell you, things that they didn't know, you know, like that Jesus with the woman at the well, you know, said that she was, you know, living with a guy. It was the fifth one that she was with, and it was not even her husband. So, you see, that was the modern knowledge. And that things really trigger the change in her, because that touches her, touched her heart, because she was hiding that. She wasn't telling that. And she said, my goodness, this guy must be a prophet. He's a prophet. And by itself, you know, if you can do something like that, I think, you know, you wouldn't get many people, you know, turning you off. Okay. In fact, one of the people that was Brandon, you know, was one of the minister, you know, a few years ago, and that was ministering at the healing ministry, and his ability was to actually have a word of knowledge about the people that needed to be prayed for, and he would just tell them everything about their life. I mean, they would tell them, you know, all their problems. They would tell them, you know, the origin, where they were living, the address, the phone number. I mean, just unbelievable things. So that they would be just shocked into healing. Wouldn't take much. You see, the faith, their faith was raised up just by the word that he used, by the truth that they heard that nobody else could know. They were instantly healed. Now, he was messed up in other area. In fact, you know, God had to get rid of him, removing from the ministry. Okay. But even to the end of his life, he had this powerful anointing and power that was working instantly in healing, major healing, not little things. Okay. But he fell into theological error. You know, the people tried to correct him. He refused to be corrected. And he died. But his system was died as for a car accident. And they had told him that it was going to happen. Not that the car accident, but they told him it was going to happen. And he just refused to listen. And he was in the car with his son, and his son was dying with him. And while he was dying, he stretched out his hand, laid on the son, prayed for him. He was instantly healed, and then he passed away. That was amazing in itself. And that shows that the gift of God are without repentance, and that people that have the anointing, you know, can keep the anointing even when they get off the tangent. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. Any more questions, or should we close for today? And I'm going to repeat again the fact that next Sunday there's going to be no service at church. It's going to be online, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock as usual. But because of COVID, some people have, you know, fallen down with COVID, and the link for the meeting is going to be on the website, on the, you know, page that is last news page, you know, where I put the news there. It's going to be all the links so that you can connect from the website right there to the place where you had to go on Zoom. Is everything clear about that?
Yes, okay. Pastor.
Okay. I wish you close in prayer then. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit guide us into all truth. Enable us, Lord, to be used by you, and to, Lord, minister to others the truth, the life that you have, Lord, that we may share you with them, that we may be effective in reaching out to them and bringing them into the kingdom, Lord, that we may be able to be your witnesses wherever we are, anywhere, anytime, Lord, that your truth may prevail and the Lord, your kingdom come down on earth. We praise and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, Lord, your love, the love that you have for us, Lord, and for those that need to know you, Lord, for you love everybody. Lord, help us to be the same, to have the same spirit that you have, that we have may share with you, Lord, the love from our heart, through our faith, so that we may be able to minister to them, Lord, and to Lord, minister to their needs. Lord, not just in our ability, but we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay. And Lord, have the abundant life that you have given us to share with them. We just praise you and thank you for what you've done for us in our life. Help us, Lord, to become effective witnesses of you in the world that we are in the, Lord, I cause the contact that we have, so that we, Lord, may be glorified in their life too, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay.